Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are already fucked up.
Nice try. Yeah.
Today we're discussing Gojira and Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Right.
Yeah, it's our first anniversary.
Yeah, so we thought we'd go to the source.
Yeah, we're going to hit up both.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited to talk about.
They're so similar and yet so different, but I just feel like to do these as two separate things, especially because the Godzilla King of Monsters kind of leaves you wanting after you've seen the other one, I think.
Uh-huh.
That's just my thing of first impressions. In fact, after I'd seen, I'm assuming you watched Gojira first?
Yeah.
Yeah, I almost wanted to tell you to watch the other one first and see what happens when you go the other way.
Oh, okay.
But I
was glad I went the way I went.
Yeah,
it's
me
interesting.
Too.
It reminds me of
the main thing because I was wondering is that there's the you're saying something. Go ahead.
No, it's fine.
It reminds you of what?
It reminds me of Back to the Future 2. Or like the beginning of like Batman versus Superman, this kind of new movie has, you know, injected itself into the old movie.
Yeah.
But from a different perspective.
Right.
And I thought that was really interesting, and I kind of liked it a lot.
I think I was just wondering, like, if you went the other direction, you'd be like, look at all this other stuff they put in a way.
It would feel like, okay.
Oh, look at all these other nuanced themes and details that get removed as they move from Gojira to King of the Monsters.
But I think it's effective because he's like a reporter, and so he's only
narrator.
Yeah, so he's only reporting on the things that he saw.
Right.
It's almost like a Cliff Notes version of the other story, and it kind of works that way. And I watched them back to back.
Right away?
Right away.
Like, oh, wow.
Like, I was done with the first one, and then I popped in the second one.
Wow.
And it was really interesting seeing it that way, especially seeing how the American version kind of did the majority of it as a flashback.
Yes.
Like the movie starts off like
right
in a different spot.
He's in the rubble. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was like, yeah, well, there's something like kind of like Forrest Gump about it.
Yes.
With the adding of the scenes of Raymond Burr.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to see how they changed the story.
Yes.
And kind of recreated sets. And it makes sense because he's always off in the back of a room kind of observing.
Yeah.
And so you feel like if I go back and watch Gojira again, I could be he could totally still be in here.
Yeah, right. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
But not as far as like where it's like scenes in people's houses and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it is weird because, like, doesn't he claim at the well? Let's get into. let's do Gojira for the most part. We can refer to King of the Monsters as we go through, but let's just start getting into it. I liked the opening credits. Like, it got me excited.
Uh-huh.
I mean, obviously, I already know who Godzilla is.
Yeah.
And I was also like, because like I was looking at it, wondering like. They like there's a big lizard on the poster.
Yeah,
I'm assuming so. They knew they were going to get a big dinosaur monster, and but still, it was just kind of like the black with the white lettering, and we know we've seen that right, and we know that's Gojira. We know that's how you spell it now.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I thought that was cool, and the boom. Boom, screonk. I thought that stuff was awesome. And then the Godzilla coming on, and also just because, like, you already know that music.
Uh-huh.
There's some parts where, like, you could hear the theme being played kind of with a different tonality, like different instruments. There's like some parts where it was almost like sweet. Mm-hmm. Did you catch that? I thought it was like, or something. But I was like, oh.
Yeah, I think I have the soundtrack, so I think it's just something I it always pops on my shuffle. So I didn't, I wasn't paying to it, you know, attention to it too much.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, like right off the bat, it's the Godzilla theme.
Yeah,
it's almost like James Bond. Like it's now it's become iconic. But it's cool that it's in there, like right off the bat.
Right.
Like they got it right the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And
The fact that it stayed, like it's like that it stays, and then now that's like that's part of why you get excited when you know, because when that music comes on, it's like here we go. Now it's cooking.
Yeah. I was gonna watch this at work. And so I put it on my phone. I put the movie on my phone, and for some reason, it defaulted to a commentary track.
Oh,
so I ended up watching that for a couple of breaks, and then I was like, I can't just watch it this way.
Is that the one that came out with the Criterion, or it's like
I don't think it's the Criterion version.
There's like a couple experts thing. We're gonna talk about special effects.
It was
and
like
we were going to talk about stuff, and I was like, as soon as they started, and like the way they were talking, and just kind of I was just kind of like, oh, I got to get out of this.
I don't want to listen to a couple of nerds talk about Godzilla.
I mean, no, I don't mind, but not while I'm watching it.
Yeah, and the thing that sucked was it was stuck that way. Like I couldn't, for some reason on my phone, I couldn't change the audio track.
Yeah,
so like, I decided to
like
listen.
I'd love to hear that. You know, I'd hear that as a podcast. You know, like if it was like that recording of the stuff talking about those things.
Yeah.
But while I'm watching the movie, it's a little. It's like the people who are like, I'm the opposite of the people who made comments saying like, I wish they knew more about what they were talking about.
I did learn that the Yamane family. Also reappears in Destroya, which we already watched.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that while we were watching it, or I didn't. It's not a name.
Well, I recognized the guy.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch, and he was in Seven Samurai. The same year too as this movie.
Yeah, I was looking that up. Toho was gonna go bankrupt, and that year they released both Seven Samurai and this.
Yeah.
Amazing. The fact that both that these two come from the same studio is amazing too. Just like,
wow. Yeah.
Okay, white light explosion, I think. Is it supposed to be an explosion? It's hard to really tell what the white light in the water is.
Yeah.
And then the ship sinks.
I was assuming it was the fire breath.
Coming from the water?
Yeah. Almost like it was boiling.
He's like shooting up at them.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a quote that says, it's a shame, but it's your job. I totally don't remember the context exactly, but,
the first actual appearance we get of Godzilla is a puppet.
Yes.
Looking over the thing. And I kind of like
the puppet. Over the mountain?
Yeah, I like the puppet.
Yeah, I like the puppet too. The puppet's cute.
Cause you don't see, you don't see a lot of with the Godzilla in the suit is a lot of head movement.
Right.
And if you do, it's just like kind of a swivel, but the puppet kind of has a little more. Articulation, and I mean, it looks like a puppet, but it's a different.
Yes.
It's definitely a different look to Godzilla. And,
yeah,
I do like they. Even in this movie, they come up with a Godzilla counterattack force or task force.
Right.
So, yeah, that's something I didn't know. That was like, you know, day one, we're going to create a task force to stop this thing. Which I mean makes sense, but it's. I just assumed it's just going to be the military.
All the ships in the miniature ships that are on the little water in like a studio, it kind of reminded me of Cabin Boy.
Yeah, I see that.
There's a part where like the old man wipes his face to get a good look.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's if it's not. What did they say? 40 sure stories.
My eyes. What'd you say?
Did they say he's 40 stories?
They did.
Yeah.
Which. goes against the song from the cartoon.
I don't remember the song from the cartoon. I just remember "And Godzuki."
Yeah, in the cartoon, he's actually 30 stories high. I have a note about that somewhere. Yeah, up from the depths, 30 stories high, breathing fire, his head in the sky. Godzilla, Godzilla, Godzilla.
Yeah.
They say that he has to feed on humans to survive.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, kind of like, you know, the old days, the old traditions when we used to sacrifice girls.
Yeah. And it makes it, they allude to the fact that Godzilla's been around.
Yeah.
At least the myth of Godzilla.
Yeah.
But
everyone just mocks him for, like, you know, oh, that's just old people's legends.
Yeah, but atomic testing is his, brought Godzilla to life.
Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked when the house is collapsing, that they kind of did like the inside the house. You get to see it from inside the house of the walls shaking and tumbling and stuff. Mm-hmm. But that was cool.
Yeah, I think for the most part, a lot of the model work in this is really good.
Yeah, there's a really great shot of the downed helicopter too after the house collapses.
Uh-huh.
It just kind of there's definitely like a darkness in this movie. It's like it's a little bit like, oh, a lot more the sense of death and peril going on in the ominous thing.
There's something about it,
and I think the black and white helps with that too.
Yeah. There's something about it that kind of reminded me of Daimajin, where it seems like the models may have been bigger, or the destruction was kind of scaled down a bit.
Yeah.
To where it's like, we're going to make, you know, a few models, but we're going to make them big and they're going to look good. You can definitely see as time goes on where they start cutting corners. But this one, they really...
Oh, yeah, totally.
They really wanted to make, you know, things look good. There's a shot of a model... There's a model shot where it looks like you're inside a train. And the camera's moving along the tracks. And then you see, like, Godzilla's foot. You know, enter frame that I thought looked really good.
It's for this fact-finding mission that they get quite the send-off.
Yeah, it was like the Love Boat or something.
Yeah, this is like confetti and streamers and
and then
you pan across and you come across the sinister-looking guy with the eye patch.
Yeah, yeah, that's one of the things they said in the commentary is. He's actually, in the movie, he's not actually sinister.
Right.
He's actually, everything he does is pretty, you know, nice and whatever, but we associate eye patches with bad guys now.
Well, he does invent a thing that can kill all fish in the water.
Yeah.
Albeit by accident.
Yeah, and then but he doesn't want that technology to get out, even to the point where, you know, he doesn't even want the information to be in his head anymore.
Right.
And he's best friends with Steve.
Right.
Which was one of the things I liked about...
Now, did you... Yeah. Steve Martin.
Steve Martin just calls him up.
Did you... I missed it. Now, did they... In Gojira, did they talk about that she's betrothed to him?
Yeah.
In an arranged marriage?
Yeah. And that's something I didn't really... That's something that they mentioned in the commentary.
Yeah, I never picked up on that on my own.
And so when I went back and watched it with just the regular sound, I had that in mind, and it was a little bit more clear.
Because she talks about she likes him like a brother.
Yeah, it's a weird love triangle.
I was looking, I was like, I wanted there to be a big brother clock block in the first movie, just to be like, to set the standard, but...
Yeah. But yeah, she was arranged to marry... Shinazawa?
Eye patch.
Yeah. Shirazawa. I think it's Shirazawa. Yeah. And, but she was really in love with, Sarazawa. And then she was in love with, I had all their names. I know she's a Miko. And, Sarazawa, but I forget the other dude's name. But yeah, she was in love with him. It was a weird, really kind of unnecessary love triangle, but.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
Yeah, I just it, all I really did was it gave the other guy some moments to kind of like be a little mopey or be a little like, oh,
Yeah.
what? Oh. I like when they're looking at the big footprint, and he finds a trilobite.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? It's just like, it's like Godzilla just like stepping on trilobites and dragging trilobite around like carpet.
Yeah. I think the people freaked out because of it.
There's also when the puppet shows up over the thing and they're running away, and then there's like the part where like she falls and he has to get pick her up. And then later in Kingdom of Monsters is the other guy who falls and Raymond Burr's gotta help him up.
Yeah. I like the Raymond Burr stuff because it was funny. It was funny seeing.
It was goofy. Like it kind of felt, like I wondered if it like it seemed. I can't remember if it was goofy, and I wondered if it felt goofy when they were doing it.
Well, what's weird about, or not weird, but what I don't remember from watching King of the Monsters originally was how little of it is dubbed. Like
Right.
they just play out the Japanese
And he
audio
goes, "What are they saying?"
and then he narrates it, and I always remembered it as just being, heavily dubbed, but then they have the, and then when they do dub people,
Giving
it's
him
very.
that guy to kind of like help him out, the guy, his guide, the guy who helps him
Yeah,
along the way.
but they don't really show the dub a lot. Like a lot of people they'll shift the dialogue so it happens off screen. They'll have clearly stand-ins with their backs facing the camera talking to Raymond Burr, which is always fun. Those are always fun shots. It's like
Yeah, but
the.
it's kind of like when they do like on the Academy Awards, and Billy Crystal would put himself in all the movies.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say it's like when, like, Bugs Bunny like presents the best animated film and he holds
Oh, okay.
the thing over his mouth, the envelope, so you can't see what he
Oh,
says.
right, that's a good idea. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, it's you can tell that they were when it came to the dub when they actually showed the Japanese characters' faces that they try to match the words with the mouths
Right.
a little more than which also definitely down the road got, way lazier.
Yeah.
But it I like that there was actual care that went into the American version, especially with the recreating of sets and stuff. I think it matched up pretty good.
It did.
But
Yeah, I think they were able to kind of like recreate. It was great because like you kind of like I started wondering like, I wonder how many days. Did they shoot all this stuff in?
yeah.
Because a lot of it, you could do, probably get through a lot of it pretty quickly.
Yeah, and he doesn't really have a lot of spoken dialogue. It's mostly voiceover.
Yeah, a lot of it is, yeah.
So I could see him only shooting for like a couple days and then doing
Except,
his audio
yeah,
for a
right.
day.
Yeah, because even like their exterior stuff, like when they're in the tent and the rain is starting. They're clearly in a studio. I'm pretty sure they're in like a sound stage or just some enclosed outdoor back lot that they can like just
Yeah.
pelt them and then reset and move things around.
And I feel like even when they were running away from Godzilla the first time, that was in a set.
Yeah, it felt like, yeah, there's something about it kind of felt a little like, you know, like canned in some way.
Yeah.
When he's presenting his findings to the group back to Gojira, we're just gonna jump all over these movies.
Yeah.
And first of all, saying Brontosaurus, which is great because, you know, and these really those great old school dinosaur pictures where like they're standing very upright and
Yeah, I
all
like
like
those a lot.
but I liked when he says, "And look at this photo," and he brings up the slide. Of the quote unquote photo of Godzilla, but you can see it's really just like an artist painting, essentially.
Yeah, I like that drawing a lot.
Yeah, I liked it too. But yeah, it was like I like how they called that a photo.
I like the idea of the, you have the government trying to kill Godzilla. And the dad, the Yamane, Dr. Yamane, I guess, wanting to do research on the creature.
He's really bothered by it. I like that. Yeah. He has that moment where he's just like, I'm just going to sit in the dark because he's upset at the depth charges that they're going to go and try and kill Godzilla. Well,
yeah, there's a difference in that scene with the American version where he says, he tells her he wants to be left alone, but in the Japanese version he says, turn off the lights.
Yeah.
He wants to fully mope in the darkness.
Yes. Well, yeah. Well, in the American version, he says, I want to be left alone, and she turns off the lights on him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have another quote I wrote. This sand that came from Godzilla. The sand! What?
Yeah, the radiated sand. It must have just been like...
Just a show just, that...
It was like in his toe jam or something. Like, it was like...
This came out of Godzilla. Yeah, the counter Godzilla headquarters established. There's another part where they talked about the contaminated tuna and the radioactive fallas, and now this Godzilla to top it all off.
Something in this movie that a couple of things I noticed is the fire breath wasn't in effect. They just like kind of blew like steam out of his mouth, kind of like the Gamera movies we've watched so far.
Right.
And another thing is he uses it to...
But it did do, like, an effect to kind of make his fins in the back kind of, like, start...
And that's why I think the glowing in the water at the beginning is his atomic breath, because it kind of looked like the same effect as his fins. So it might have been his back fins at the beginning.
I hear you.
But I'm so used to him using the fire breath for fighting other monsters and then kind of, like, saving that moment to use his fire breath, and in this one he just uses it to plow down buildings.
Yes.
Which is, he really doesn't do much. I know in Godzilla 2000, that movie ends with him destroying a bunch of buildings, and in Shin Godzilla he uses it to like kind of destroy a bunch of buildings, but I'm so used to it, you know, usually it's for fighting other monsters.
Yeah, there's a word, is it in this one, where they describe it like a sea of flames or something like that.
Now, yeah. Okay.
And so, I was like, oh, great, sea of flames. So whenever he, like, torches the town, I'm going to remember that word to refer to as a sea of flames.
Now, if this was, what, 1954?
Yes.
So, like, if you're in Japan in 1954 and you're going to see this movie, you're just going to go see, like, a horror movie, right? Like, this is... Like, you would just think of this as just, like, a horror movie?
I guess. Yeah.
Cause I don't
as
think...
opposed to what?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, because we watch kaiju movies. But back then, it wasn't established
you mean
yet.
Before
like,
such thing existed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you be excited to go see this horror movie? What, like?
Yeah, well, I mean, a monster really movie. Dark. Yeah, I would. I mean, there, Universal monster movies were in the 30s, so they've been around. But the thing is also because, like,
well, King Kong, I guess, has been around, too.
Right. Well, we dropped bombs in 1945.
Mm-hmm. This is 9 years later.
This is not that long ago.
Yeah.
Like, all this stuff, like, when they talk about, like, oh, the shelters again, and not wanting to go into the shelters. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Like, there's so much of it that is, like, a reference of, you know, the aftermath of having dealt with, you know, when we bombed them. There's it's really like when, like, after Godzilla attacks Tokyo, and, well, by the way, first of all, there's like this party boat in Tokyo Bay.
Yeah.
There's like Calypso music or so, the Hawaiian music. Wait, was the Hawaiian music in the Japanese one? It definitely is in the King of Monsters.
I don't remember.
They were playing like Hawaiian kind of. But, and then Godzilla just emerges. And but there's that part where like they have like, there's like a little girl and they're like checking her for radiation and she's setting out the Geiger counter. It's like, really sad.
I know. And then, so that's another difference. Is she's crying because they're taking her mom away. And in the Japanese version, Miko says she'll be okay.
Right.
In the American version,
she's dead.
She's dead.
Right.
It's like weird little things like
so
that.
Was
but
Amika
I felt
lying to her?
Well, that's the thing.
I was like, yeah, because, yeah, we didn't get any sign of life from her, but maybe, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and then I felt more bad for the girl in the Japanese version than I did the American version.
Yeah.
Which was weird because it's the exact same scene. I don't know if it was cut differently.
But, you know, I think also, but it tonally led up to it differently that I think it primed you better to feel bad for than the other way. I'm guessing. I wouldn't be surprised if that kind of that actually happened.
And even though the American version like added scenes with Steve, it's 13 minutes. There's 13 minutes less in the American version. The runtime is 13 minutes shorter.
Yes.
So there's definitely stuff cut out.
There's tons of stuff cut out, but that's the stuff that's like the stuff that the dialogue, like for example, early on when the guy comes in, he's talking to the guys from the ship, trying to figure out what happened. Those scenes were longer, but
the scene on the island was longer.
He just has to come in and say something, and then Rainbow's gonna be like, "What's he saying?" and stuff. So yeah, there's this part where someone talks about that I don't have any German associates. I think it's around when they're talking about how they're going to have to stop all these international like trading ship lines and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Those are all these things. All the like bureaucratic problems and how like the people are mad at them because they're still trying to like make money or they don't want people to find out about stuff, you know, the government's hiding the truth and all that kind of stuff. And so the fact that like there's like the distancing from German is also, I feel like, you know, because the wounds of World War II are still fresh.
Yeah.
I like when she goes to visit her fiance. And he goes, "Come here, I want to show you something." And he goes and he just kind of goes over to the room and he opens it up. And you just kind of like, there's like this kind of glamour shot of like, look at this set.
Yeah, with the fish tanks and the...
Yeah, look at all these like tubes and things. And it's kind of like, he's like going, "Look, I've been mad scientisting."
I like the American version of the set. When Steve calls up Serizawa, and he's like, his face is obstructed by a bunch of like tubes and stuff. And as his face is cut, or his phone's covering his face and his eye patch, like it's really funny that they're friends to me.
It is funny that, and he puts it in the beginning, says, "I'm going to go," he was on his way to visit a friend, but he never goes there.
No.
So she can't bear to look. After he sets off the Alka-Seltzer.
The oxygen destroyer.
Now, I get, you know, you're showing how this thing works, but does he have to do it a tank full of fish at a time?
He can't just do one fish?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the fish budget and fish tank budget is got to be crazy for him. In fact, because like later when they both come to try and convince him that they need to like they want to use his oxygen destroyer, he's got this smaller fish tank on the table, and I was like, see, he had to downsize the fish tanks because it's like it's unsustainable to keep killing so many fish by a giant tank at a time, just for a test. Just to kind of show off.
Yeah. Get an 8mm camera or something and film it so you don't have to keep killing all the fish.
So the first, like... Are we to assume that's him taking steps? Or is it just the music's about to start?
I think it's his steps.
Sometimes he's underwater and he's doing it, and I'm like, "We'll be here." I don't know,
but I mean, it's still connected to the ground, I guess, because we see him later walking, just walking around on the bottom of the ocean.
Yes.
So I guess it's his steps.
Okay.
I thought it was weird that he was walking around.
Just stomping.
I guess they haven't figured out the swimming yet.
Don't. Oh. Oh, well, they don't know how to do the swimming with the costume. Because remember this. Remember what we've read about this costume is this costume was a mess. This costume, you could barely move in it. There was like, they even used concrete in it for some part or something.
Jeez.
Yeah.
For stopping buildings, maybe?
Like it says, don't use the lights. It'll only make him angry. He doesn't like getting lights shining in his face.
Who else was that? Were they shining lights in their eyes? Was that Barugan?
I thought... Yeah, the Gamera one. There was a thing they were using lights thing for that one too. But watching this movie, I don't remember seeing any kind of big screen release of Gojira as far as like an anniversary or anything like that. Any retro New Beverly Cinema or something
like the 50th? There may have been one. What was the 50th? When was that? That was 2004. That would have been a while ago. And the 60th would have been 3 years
ago. It definitely made me want to see it that way. I want to, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I like it. I mean, the power lines and the trains really just kind of sets it up. It's just so great at the beginning. The train in his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of the beginning of Godzilla 2000 with the boat in his mouth.
When he destroys the bridge,
and he just flips it over like a table.
When he's walking by like the opening arc, and there's like his water's gushing through.
Yeah, like he's squishing it out.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like there's some nice stock footage in this, like the newspaper stuff going through, like for the printing of the newspapers, or all the planes at the airport.
Yeah, I like the ships with the depth charges.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were I like that. Yeah, the military stuff is cool. It kind of works good with the models a lot of times. My favorite model was the fire trucks.
I like the fire trucks too. That's where I remember that model fire truck cars with people dolls.
Yeah. The first shot, they just kind of crash. The second one almost looks like stop motion, where it falls over on its side and the little guys fall off.
Yeah. And they, I liked how they had like people in the buildings, as these in the big building shots.
And the big, I like the radio tower with the guys on the radio tower, and they were like, "Oh, we're signing off." Which I think was in the Japanese version. I don't know if he said that they were signing off in the American version. I think they kept that dialogue for Steve when he got crushed. When his building...
There's a cool shot that's like through a birdcage.
Yeah, it's like a comp shot.
Yeah, there's interesting stuff in this.
The version I have...
Oh, what about the mom and her two kids? Who's like, "Don't worry, we'll be joining Daddy soon."
You think he was on the radio tower?
Godzilla really hates that clock. Oh, the other thing is when they're filming it, I loved it. When they're filming the destruction of Tokyo, and the news guy is saying, "This is not a movie. This is real. This is not a play or a movie."
Oh, when did War of the Worlds happen? Is that around this time? Is that like
the actual radio broadcast?
Yeah. Where people were going crazy. I wonder if that's kind of a response to that, we're not pulling your leg. This is actually happening. There's something. Okay, so in Gojira, there's a scene where there's a choir of girls singing.
1938.
Okay, so this was like well after.
Yeah.
There's a choir of girls singing in Gojira, but I don't know if I noticed this in the Japanese version, but in the American version, it's a TV broadcast that they're doing. They're going to do a TV broadcast of prayer.
Right.
But I think the Japanese version, it was just happening.
I think it was just happening. It seemed like it was just happening. It wasn't marked. I don't remember marking it as being a TV show. wait, because there's that one part where they zoom in on the TV screen. I don't remember if that was that where that happened. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was just a montage, not necessarily a thing. The electrified fence plan kind of comes pretty early, and they build it pretty quick, mm-hmm. and it doesn't work.
Right.
Right.
I like that they shoot bottle rockets, like real bottle rockets at them.
Oh, from the jets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This Godzilla can't turn around. This suit is too bulky. It seems like he can only go one way.
There's one shot where I think it's after the train shot where you get the POV of the train on the tracks where you get a side view of kind of Godzilla's thigh and foot, and it looks really like, it doesn't look like muscles. It just looks like hanging rubber. Like it just looks like he's full of air.
Yeah.
And yeah, that looked kind of cheap. But for the most part, I think all the shots were really, really well done. I like that we didn't really get any of those kind of like what I guess would be helicopter shots. Like a lot of shots were from the POV of the ground.
Oh, right.
Or other buildings.
Oh, sure.
Which
I liked it. Okay, it was pretty funny when. Okay, so the whole thing of like it's a mystery as to what the oxygen destroyer does.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, until then, there's a part where, like, you see them kind of, you know, they hold on her face for a long time, and then flashback.
Yeah.
And there's a part where she's like, why are you working on such a novel project? This conversation I was having. Like, why are you working on such a novel project? Says, well, do you see this eye patch? like he wanted to make an oxygen destroyer to benefit society.
Yeah, why would you need to destroy oxygen? And why does it work in the air?
Yeah, and why? How come when it's in the water doesn't disappear?
It's two times hydrogen, one part oxygen, right?
Yeah, so it just should be a big bowl of hydrogen now?
Yeah, I don't know.
I've decided to use smaller tanks. Oh, and okay, so they chase him into his lab, and they can't open the door. But then they immediately can open the door.
Yeah.
And I was like, what was that about? Was he just holding it on the other side?
I don't know.
I should have put a lock on this.
I like the prop. The oxygen destroyer, the big version.
Yes.
It's kinda, the kinda
That's
like,
a cool prop.
Yeah, it's kind of like that clear glass case with the ball in it, and the ball opens it up. Like I've seen some Godzilla toys that come with a little oxygen destroyer with it. But I wonder if somewhere out there is like almost like a full size one that could like pop open and stuff. Because I think that would
really yeah. When they go underwater, is like you know how they talk about how he hates being flashlight being shown on his face.
Uh-huh.
Is that why they take the flashlight down?
I don't know.
Because one of them's holding a flashlight. It's like come get us.
Maybe. Maybe it's to lure him. Because he kind of goes that way, right?
I thought he had kind of like a rat face.
Godzilla?
Yeah.
Well, the Godzilla face looked different in puppet form. Like the puppet looked a little bit different. But there was a shot or two where it looked like his eye was like big and giant, kind of like the Shin Godzilla.
Uh-huh.
Like I don't know if it was the way the light was hitting it, but it looked like that kind of form, that form one or form two Godzilla. With the big eyes. I kept thinking of Shin Godzilla while watching this. I don't know why. Because it was just flat out Godzilla attacking. There's no other monsters in it. And so it's like, how do we fill the time if we only have one monster?
There's the shot where they like kind of pan across all the like the injured people.
Mm-hmm.
And people tending to them. And then the last two people, like they had, it looks like almost looks like they were doing paper mache. They had like this little pieces of paper or something. But I also like that same pan across was used twice in King of Monsters. One is when he's being moved on the stretcher, you see him look over and they cut to the pan.
Uh-huh.
So it's like that's his POV as he moves along. And then they used it again later, kind of where it was in this original movie.
Oh, okay. I didn't even notice. I didn't even notice it was the same shot.
That's basically all I got for the original movie. I'm moving on to King of Monsters notes, unless you have anything to...
No. And I already sprinkled my King of Monsters notes into this.
Yeah. I like how in King of Monsters, we start with Tokyo Destroyer. That's kind of interesting. Yeah. Like, I was like going like, okay. And then immediately going, oh, wait, is that Raymond Burr right there in the rubble? And then he says his name is D-Bart. Stopped off in Tokyo for a social call.
With Sarazawa?
I don't know. And I just thought it was so funny, all the back of the head stuff. They didn't quite get the check in her shirt quite matchy, I don't think.
Yeah,
the fact that he's friends with Sarazawa was a little hard for me to believe, because clearly Sarazawa has no friends.
Yeah. Yeah, in the Japanese version, he's definitely a loner.
There's a really funny part when he goes and he talks to the guy who ends up joining him in on this little trip. There's a part where he has this really actory moment where he's looking out the blinds, doing his lines outside the blinds, and I was like, oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah. According to the commentary, this was both of their first movies? Both of Sarazawa and the other guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And they told a story where that guy, the boyfriend...
This is the guy in English. The guy in English I'm talking about.
Oh. I thought you were talking about the other dude, not Sarazawa.
No, the military guy. The guy who
speaks English. He's like the translator almost.
Yeah, right. Okay. Raymond Burr calls them helicopters, by the way.
Yeah. Nakajima, is he the actor that plays Godzilla?
Yeah.
He can be seen in the, he's one of the smoking guys at the newspaper.
Is he?
Yeah, he's on screen. And then one of the other guys he's with is, another of the suit performers for this movie.
No kidding.
Yeah, so when you're there's a shot when they're at the newspaper and there's a guy sitting down on the left smoking a cigarette. That's him. So he's actually on screen. Which is pretty cool. That's like the two things I got from the commentary.
I'm gonna have to look at that again. In his credits, they say he's a power station worker.
Oh, that might be it. I thought it was the newspaper.
Oh, there's two Gojira credits here. There's Gojira Katsumi Tatsuka, who was Gojira and Higiwara's editor.
Oh, okay.
And then Haruo Nakajima is Gojira and power station worker. And there's also Jiro Suzuki is also listed as Gojira.
Huh. So they're just grabbing whoever they could?
Or maybe one guy was the puppeteer, one guy was the costume, and one guy...
I like that puppet a lot.
Yeah.
His arm kind of moved funny, but...
This is a part they refer to these island people, and I was like, oh, this is how you get into trouble.
At least they were not tan.
There was no shot of eye patch.
Sarazawa?
Yeah, there was no shot of him at the send-off in the American. They don't pan across to him because... Raymond Burr would have to recognize him since he's his close personal friend.
Yeah.
By the way, have you heard of Cozilla?
No.
So an Italian company released Godzilla King of Monsters because they couldn't get the original Gojira in quote-unquote color, which is just that they ran it through a thing so it had that kind of thing that when they make black and white, they used to make black and white things in color by making blue on top, yellow in the middle and green on the bottom. You can go to YouTube and basically it's Cozilla, you can see basically get a taste of what it looks like.
It doesn't sound good. I think a colorized version wouldn't.
It's not really colorized. It's really just tinted.
Yeah.
Like.
But just in general, like I like the black and white. The black and white makes it a lot. Moodier.
Yes.
Like it was really interesting seeing Godzilla in black and white. And then it's, I think there's only one other movie, Godzilla Raids Again, that I think is black and white.
And oh, is it?
Yeah, that's the follow-up to this movie. And that's Godzilla and Angulus.
I thought this was the only one. Yeah, it's definitely moody. Yeah, this is definitely, like, kind of dark and ominous. And
it helps with the effects.
This feels like it's the scariest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I was wondering if people, like, viewed it as, like, a horror movie. Because it was...
I guess.
The only other note I have is the ending. And the differences between the endings. Mm-hmm. Of the movie.
Oh, you mean as far as like being like, you know,
Raymond Burr's voiceover, the whole world can wake up and live again.
Yeah.
And then it says the end.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Japanese version, they allude to the fact that this could happen again. Mm-hmm. That we kill Godzilla, but
who there knows can what be else other is Godzilla. Out
there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And just like all this talk about like, you know, the destruction and the nuclear testing themes and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just really so obvious. Like, having seen the first movie, it's so glaringly missing from the other movie.
Yeah. I haven't seen Godzilla 1985.
I know.
I'm sure I've seen parts of it, but I'm actually...
I remember seeing it, but I haven't seen it since I was a little kid.
Yeah, this makes me excited to see it because they
put
Raymond Burr in it.
Yeah, I know. That's why I want to see it.
Which is cool that, like, I mean, that the Japanese, that Toho, like, embraced this version enough to be where, like, oh, we can include this character. So I'm interested to see what they do with that. Because I feel like both of these movies are kind of valid. Like, I think the American version doesn't take away, even though they added footage. It does just feel like, you know, someone else's perspective, a different account of these, you know, this tragedy that, like, quote, actually happened. It's an interesting way of doing it instead of just doing a flat out dub, which I don't know if they've done this to another Godzilla movie. I guess King Kong versus Godzilla, they added the newscaster, and some American footage, explaining it. But other than that, I can't really think of any other kind of Godzilla movie that there's an American production, you know, that adds scenes with, you know, narration and stuff. But this one, I think, is way more interesting than what they did with the news broadcast in King Kong versus Godzilla. I liked... It was fun watching to see how they added the American stuff.
They
picked their spots, how they, you know.
Yeah,
how they...
It's like, I'm wondering, like, had we seen it without the knowledge of the first movie, if we would notice that's conspicuously in the corner of this room. Uh-huh. I wonder.
I mean, I think we would know the back of the fake actors' heads. Talking to him.
Yeah, well, it's definitely like going, well, that's interesting that they don't cut to her when she's saying all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very Ed Wood. It's like the Bela Lugosi with the cape.
Yeah, totally.
Like
totally.
Anything they can do to hide the people's faces they did.
Right.
But I it was interesting watching them back to back and just, you know, turning into like a 3-hour movie. It didn't lag at all. Because, you know, there's enough of the new footage to kind of keep me interested in what was going on and what, you know, how this American, you know, shaped the story for his article. And then, you know, getting to see the footage again, because the monster footage is awesome. I don't think there was any Godzilla footage where I'm like, oh, that's, I don't like that. That's bad.
There was definitely, I think something about the American felt like it moved faster. Like, yeah. I don't know if it's because it started with the destruction, but yeah, it was like once he got to Tokyo, we were at the end of the movie.
So I enjoy them both. I think they're both kind of cool, and I like that. I do like that Toho embraced the Americanized version of it and put him in 1985.
I could see myself rewatching Gojira, but I don't really see myself wanting to go back to see King of Monsters.
I would put King of the Monsters on in the background, like while I'm like cleaning house on like a Sunday afternoon or something, just so I can listen to it.
Sure.
But yeah, it would be interesting if there was just a straight up English dub of Gojira.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, the movie's awesome. I really like the movie. Yeah, I like both versions, but Gojira is definitely better. It's more horror. It's a little more scary and more stark. And the American version's, you know, a little more lighthearted. I don't know. I really like his, not his death, but when he says he's signing off and the building crumbles.
Yes.
I thought it was kind of powerful, I guess. Not like I was like moved to tears or anything, but I thought that the editing and the pacing worked really well. And I thought Raymond Burr did a really good job. I thought, you know, considering he had to act against nothing, I felt, you know, like he did a good job. I feel like he was kind of there for the most part. Like his reactions and stuff worked. I really don't know anything about Raymond Burr. I know he's Perry Mason, but I never watched, you know, when I was a kid, I wouldn't watch a black and white courtroom drama on TV.
My mom used to like to watch him.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. I liked his performance considering it's, you know, a Japanese kind of B movie.
He did fine for the job he had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sold it.
It's funny. It is funny. Like, it is. There is a quality that almost kind of felt like, he was in a relationship with that other guy, and they're like in the tent and stuff and just hanging out. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
That's the social call.
Yeah. For the American
version.
That's
the guy he should have been coming to visit instead of getting swept up in the whole.
Cool. Yeah. I liked it. And it's interesting. It's interesting doing this as our first anniversary show. Cause we watched so many.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like we've only been doing this for a couple months.
I know.
But it's been a whole year. I keep writing 2017 on all my checks.
Oh. Well, we just started.
I guess so.
Probably because it was still 2017.
Yeah.
P.S. Who writes so many checks nowadays?
I was going to say, but looking at all these Godzilla movies over the last year and all the, and, you know, Gamera and Daimajin and all these American, you know, monster movies, it's interesting to go back and watch this. I know King Kong was kind of the first one.
But I mean,
as far as the term kaiju and Godzilla and these type of movies, like this is where it all started. And it's interesting to see this as compared to, you know, what we've been watching.
Also just the fact that they were stuck in a way that there's certain ways that the newer movies cut corners that they couldn't cut corners like that here because they couldn't do like some of the video tricks and stuff like that, and just kind of like going, nope, I'm gonna have to build one of these.
And it's taken so serious, like it's such a serious movie.
Oh yeah,
you know,
right.
There's nothing like, you know, Mechagodzilla or Gigan, you know, these kind of like space alien and you know, space apes and space cockroaches and stuff. It's interesting. It's very, very great. It's the most grounded in reality movie. Even like Shin Godzilla, which is pretty grounded in reality as far as like the human side and them trying to deal with the problem. Like, I feel like even that is a little more fantastic.
Totally.
So yeah, this is, I really liked it. I really like this movie. It's, you know, it set a bar, which, you know, was immediately ignored, but it's, it leads to the stuff we like, so it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's like that for me, the Godzilla sweet spot is the, you know, those 60s kind of, those ones. The ones that also are very troubling and for other reasons, but it's just the way those monsters looked and just the way the grain of the film looked.
Yeah.
just kind of the colors that to me, it's like that's the Godzilla that you know touches me in my heart because it reminds me of being a kid.
Mm-hmm. Our next episode, we're gonna continue discovering and unraveling Gamera.
Cool.
We're gonna watch Gamera versus Gyaos. I looked it up. I don't know how it's spelled. Gayaos.
Or there's G-Y- a Y in G-Y- it? I thought it was G.
Yeah. I gotta look it up again. Oh, maybe there's. Wait, hold on.
I thought it was Gaos.
It's Gyaos.
Oh, Gyaos. Okay.
And then there's one that's Gyaosu.
What is that one?
I don't know. It's the same one. It's must.
Oh, be. It's the same movie.
Yeah, Gyaos seems to be the one. Oh. Gyaos. It's the third Gamera movie, and it looks like there's a flying dude, like a pterodactyl type of Rodan character. So yeah. We're going to be watching that next time. I'm gigantic excited to do bat. It. And for more information, go to kaijupod.com. You'll get links to our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, as well as our kaiju list, which is still building. We're still adding movies. I added one this week.
Yeah, we keep coming across stuff.
Yeah.
It's like we barely tapped the well.
Yeah. This is our 28th episode. No, this wow. is our, no, our 27th. This is our 27th episode.
Oh, okay.
Our next one's our 28th, but still. we got a ton more to go. And
wow.
Yeah, it's been a fun year of shows. It's fun discovering the new stuff. It's fun revisiting the other stuff. And
totally.
Yeah, I can't wait to do it some more. And cool. So until next time.
Thanks for those of you who've hung with us for a year in our nonsense.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And until next time, I'm going to go stand up against the wall in the corner of a room.
Until next time, I'm going to wipe my face to get a better look at things.